And everybody said,
amen.
I welcome everyone tonight in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I pray the Lord will give us understanding in his word and impact our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We're praying together now, Father. We thank you for our workers' meeting tonight. Thank you for all who are here. Thank you for the zeal, for the passion, for the vision we have. And we pray, Lord, you give us understanding in your word in Jesus' name. Bless your people, Lord, and use us to bless the rest of the membership. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. God bless you. You can sit down. Tonight we come to a very important passage, a passage we may think we already know, we already understand, but I pray the Lord will give us understanding. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm reading the first part of verse 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. That's what we are concentrating on tonight. And I want to read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Consider what I say. Understand? The same apostle Paul that wrote 1 Corinthians also wrote 2 Timothy. And he says, consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. I thought you'd say, good amen.
Amen.
Now, Paul the apostle had written, and he had said, this I say, brethren, the time is short. And now he wants us to consider what he has said, and he wants the Lord to give us understanding in all things. Tonight, we're looking at the message, proper understanding of prophetic shortness of time. Prophetic shortness of time. That means there's a difference between normal shortness of time, earthly shortness of time, human shortness of time, and prophetic shortness of time. I want to have proper understanding of prophetic shortness of time. Revelation chapter 12, we're looking at verse 12. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, unto the earth, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I want you to consider this had been written from about 96 AD and then all till 100 AD, 1000 AD, 2000 AD, and this is 2022. And the devil knoweth that from that time he has but a short time. We're talking about prophetic shortness of time, not human shortness of time, not personal shortness of time, prophetic shortness of time. We're looking at Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. In Revelation chapter 2, chapter 22, reading from verse 7, it says, behold, I come quickly. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ at that time, revealing to John the beloved, and he said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, it says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, it says, he which testified this, he says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Again, the word quickly. that the Lord used in one chapter three times. It means the time is short. I come quickly. I come soon. I come very soon. But in the understanding of prophetic utterance, so we need to understand the proper meaning and the proper explanation of prophetic shortness of time. We're looking at three things here. Number one is the explicit prophecy on the shortness of time. Explicit prophecy on the shortness of time. Number two, expedient perception of the shortness of time. Number three, exponential progress within the shortness of time. Let's come to number one. In number one, we're looking at explicit prophecy on the shortness of time. Three things we're looking at. Number one, comprehending the eschatological shortness of time. Eschatology, the study of last things and the prophecy of the time we're living in until the coming of the Lord. Number two, contrasting the eternal silence on time. In eternity, there is the silence on the hours and the days and the weeks and the months and the years, because it's eternity and it doesn't end. Number three, consecrating our earthly share, consecrating our earthly share of time. Number one, comprehending the eschatological shortness of time. We're coming back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. It says, this I say, brethren, the time is short. Take it in an eschatological manner. Understand it, the time is short. Paul the apostle was thinking about the rapture, about the coming of the Lord. And you know, when he talked about the rapture, he said, we which are alive shall be caught up together with them. He counted himself as those, as part of the people that will take place in the rapture. When he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. When he said we, he counted himself as part of the people that will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, because the trumpet shall sound and we shall all be changed. He was talking about the rapture, and he thought the time between the time he lived and the time the rapture will take place is short, very short. Look at James chapter 5, reading from verse 7. In James chapter 5, verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Verse 8. In verse 8, it tells us, be ye also therefore, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth near. The coming of the Lord draweth near. How near? How soon? Look at verse 9. In verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. He had said in verses 7 and 8 that the coming of the Lord draweth near, and that the Lord is coming very soon. And then he said, he is even standing before the door. That's another way of saying the time is short. But understand, that shortness of time is eschatological. That is, we're considering it in the light of when the Lord will come. Look at 1 Peter chapter 7, chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. That's another way of saying the time is short. End of all things at hand. very near. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. But understand, he wrote this about 2,000 years ago. And yet he said, it is at hand. That's how the Lord revealed the shortness of time eschatologically unto them. And that's the same that we have read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 12, the last line, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. The short time, therefore, as we consider eschatology, is not short time like 1 year, short time like 10 years, short time like 100 years, short time like 1,000 years. We do not know when the Lord will come. Short in the sense that it may come today. It may come in 1,000 years. It may come in 2,000 years. In prophetic language, the time is short, but not short with the understanding of that word from the English dictionary, short. Short, short, very brief. It is eschatological. Look at number two here. Number two, contrasting the eternal silence on time. Now, in eternity, it is long, long, without calculation. And so, when you compare 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 10,000 years with eternity, 10,000 years will be short, very short, because eternity is unending. And so, in comparison, when we say short, in contrast to eternal time, unending, 10,000 will be short, very short. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time, this year, this period, this generation, 70 years, 40 years, this time, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They asked that question more than 2,000 years ago, before Christ went to heaven. Look at verse 7. In verse 7 it says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. God the Father does not look at time the way you look at time. God the Father of eternity, who dwells in eternal ages without end, no beginning, no ending. He doesn't think of time like you think of time. Therefore, it is not for you humans to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Revelation chapter 10, reading from verse 6. It says, and I swear by him that liveth forever and ever, by him that liveth forever and ever, eternity, who created heaven and the things that are there, that are therein, the earth and the things that are there, that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that, look at this, there should be time no longer. There should be time no longer. Therefore, when we get to the other side, when the rapture has taken place and the great tribulation has taken place and the Lord had come and there is a renovation, a change, the creation of the new heavens and the new earth, and we're here forever and ever and ever, the time at present, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 3,000 years, the time at present in comparison, in contrast to eternity, is very short. There is silence on time in eternity. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. First John chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last time. It is the last time. Now we need to understand that eschatologically. It is the last time. It's like this is the last period. This is the last dispensation. And as you have heard, that the Antichrist shall come. After the rapture, the Antichrist shall come. Even now, there are many Antichrists. The Antichrist, one personality, shall come. But now, there are people that have the spirit of the Antichrist, whereby we know it is the last time. And remember, he said this, he wrote this more than 2,000 years ago. And yet, the time is short. Short with the understanding that we're talking about between now and the coming of the Lord. And in Revelation chapter 22 verse 10, Revelation 22 verse 10, and he saith unto me, seal not the seals of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. 2,000 years have passed, the time is at hand. Short, at hand, in comparison with eternity. Look at number three there. Number three, consecrating our earthly share of time. Our earthly share of time. Now, when we talk of the time between Christ's first coming and this time that we're in now, more than 2,000 years, but Paul did not have 2,000 years to live and work. He had his own share of time. And Peter did not have 2,000 years to work, to labor, to evangelize. He had his own share of time. You and I, we do not have 1,000 years to live, 2,000 years to live. We only have a share of the time. The time is short. But that short time, eschatology, can prolong to 2,000 years or even more. But we only have a share. You only have a share. And you want to consecrate your own earthly share of time. First Corinthians chapter 7, we're reading from verse 29. But this I say, brethren, that the time is short. If we could read it, my earthly time is short. Your earthly time is short. Paul's earthly time is short. The Corinthians that lived at that time, their earthly time was short. This I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. It's not saying that husbands should neglect their wives. What he's saying is, don't allow every day to be holiday, every day to be honeymoon, and you are locked in, and they say, evangelism is here. Yes, I know. The work of God is here. Yes, I know. But I love my wife so much, and we're still in honeymoon, every day honeymoon. All right, if you're going to do honeymoon every day, do as if you were not married. Let her do as if she was not married, and both of you come out and get involved in the work of the Lord, so that your joy, your concentration, your consecration will be on making Christ known, on saving souls, on helping people to know the Lord. There's nothing wrong with good fellowship between husband and wife, but carry that fellowship to the saving of souls, as if you were not married, so that you are not spending all your time in private, secluded, internal house pleasure, you are coming out and carry your time you have and the treasures you have and the skill you have, carry that to the open and serve the Lord. Look at verse 30. In verse 30, it says, and they that weep as though they weep not. It's saying the time, your own time, share of time, of the thousands of years, your own share is short. Because of that, are you weeping? Things turning here and there, understand the suffering and the predicament and the persecution will not be forever. Act as if there's no problem. Act as if, in comparison to eternity in hellfire, this one is nothing. In comparison to those who are going to suffer forever and ever, who are not saved, this short time of suffering is nothing. That they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. Don't allow the prosperity and the success and the joy and the overcoming, everything to carry you away. Say, praise the Lord, that has happened. Praise the Lord, it made me succeed. Praise the Lord, things are going well. And yet you don't concentrate on that. You consecrate your time and your life on working for the Lord. And they that buy as though they possess not. Verse 31, it says, and they that use this world, you have the things of the world, material things in the world, technical things of the world, and the gadgets of the world, you use them as not abusing them, for the fashion of this world passes away. It tells us in the Deuteronomy chapter 34, we're reading from verse 7. It says, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Now, we have Moses here. You remember the life of Moses, the first 40 years, he was in the palace in the house of Pharaoh. And then the next 40 years, he went to the to Jethro, because he ran away, having done something wrong. He became 80 years of age, and God called him at 80. And when he called him at 80, he said, I'm sending you to Pharaoh, and you have a work to do. Now, if Moses had said, I'm 80 already, and time is short, and because of the shortness of time, what I have not done all those 80 years, what can I do now? My share of time on earth is short. Well, God was not thinking of the number 80. He was thinking of the calling, of the project, of the plan, of the goal, of the ideal, of the things he had for him, and he still sent him. Whatever your share of time here on earth, make sure that you give yourself to doing what the Lord wants you to do. The work of the Lord will prosper your hands in Jesus' name. We're looking at verse 10. Look at verse 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. If Moses had misunderstood the shortness of time, his share of the shortness of time, what would he have done? What would he have said? To start a new project, a new plan, a new outreach, a new endeavor, and a new work, something he had not done in the past 80 years. If he had thought, well, time is short, I'm already 80, what can I do now? I wish I knew this before this time. You wouldn't have done much. Therefore, whatever age you are, as the Lord is calling you and he says, go do my work and go preach the gospel and go evangelize and go serve me, understand, God knows your share of the shortness of time. And the share you have, make sure that you use it in such a way as to do what the Lord wants done. And there arose not a prophet, says, in Israel, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, it says, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. He didn't have that kind of power all through the 80 years. He didn't have that kind of manifestation, signs and wonders, all through the 80 years. And God called him. He sends the call. He accepted the call. He believed in the call at the age of 80. And he said, God knows my share of the shortness of time. And therefore, I'm not going to, you know, sit back and say, it's too late now. I'm 80. There's nothing I can do. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, and in all the mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. I pray the Lord will make us wise. Will make you in particular, will make you wise in Jesus' name. You will discern, you will understand that shortness of time is not the same for everyone. You remember in 2 Kings chapter 20, I'm reading from verse 6, the man was sick. Sick unto death, and Isaiah was sent to him, and Isaiah said that he should set his house in order, because he will die. Your share of time is over. Now, he could have accepted that just at face value. My time is short. I don't have even many weeks to stay on. Your time is short. Set your house in order. You're going. But then we know the story. He turned his face to the wall and he said, Lord, can you give me more? Can you stretch the share of time that I have? I know I'm not going to live for 1,000 years here. I know my time is short now. Can you stretch it a little bit for me so that I don't die now? And then in verse 6, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. 15 years. So it is not like it's final. Time is short. You are going now. Don't talk about it. The prophet has said it. It is all over. He said, no. Unknown sickness will not kill you. Untimely sickness will not kill you. And you will not compare your life with the life of a daddy, grandfather, grandmother, or mother. The time God gives you, if he has given you a job to do and you need more time, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, it shall be given unto you. Amen. Amen. I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Look at verse 7. And in verse 7, and Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. The Lord said, I have given you 15 years. And now, after the Lord had given him 15 years, Isaiah now came back to him. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil. And he recovered. And you recover. And I recover. Before I move on, there are people that have the promise of God. And thank God, you have the promise of God. I said you have the promise of God. Now, they have the promise of God, but they don't take care of themselves. If they have any challenge that requires medical attention, they don't check up. If they're feeling somehow in the head, somehow in the brain, they say the devil is sick. They say that is not my portion. They say, you know what they say, and so they just go on. If they have blood pressure, if they have sugar too much in their blood, they don't think of anything. They just say, I know what the Lord had said. I have the promise of God. Yet she had the promise of God, and Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. Are there supplements you can take so that whatever is missing in your system because of getting older and older, it will keep you up? Do that, and then your diet, not carbohydrate every time, fruits, vegetables, and everything in a balanced way. Even though the Lord has given us the promise, He wants us to understand that we also need to regulate our lives, what we eat, and drink water, so that you will be properly hydrated, and so that you will not just, I am tired, what will I do? And sleep at the right time, and sleep for the number of hours you ought to sleep. The Lord grants you understanding in all things. The Lord will take care of you. And then what the Lord has provided for us to take care of ourselves, make use of them. If it's only just a lump of figs we're going to take, and then they lay it on the boil, and they bandage that sore so that bacteria or whatever will not come in there, and whatever has happened, take care, and the Lord is also taking care of you. Your share of time here on earth will be maximally utilized in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number two now. Point number two, expedient perception of the shortness of time. Expedient perception of the shortness of time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29, but this I say, brethren, he was talking to people, people who are born again and people who have the promises of God, and they rely on the Lord. And he's talking to you because you're a brother, you're a sister. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Let's come to Psalm 90, and I'm reading from verse 10. Psalm 90, verse 10. Before I read Psalm 90, verse 10, look at the top of the chapter of Psalm 90, and tell me who wrote the psalm. Psalm 90, the prayer of, tell me out aloud, tell me, the prayer of Moses. How important is that? You see how important it is now. We're coming to Psalm 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 70. The days of our years are 70. A score is 20. 60. And 10, that's 70. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. 80 years, how many years is that? 80 years. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and will fly away. The point is this: Moses, who wrote this prayer, who wrote this time, he said generally for the people of the world and the people of his world, the days of our years generally are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they become 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. That means by the time generally they are 80, they are tired, they're weak, their brain is getting off from being useful. The connections of the brain and the remembrance of things they cannot remember. Their eyes are dim, their back is bent, and their muscles are flabby, and they cannot walk straight anymore. But the same Moses that said that generally the time, the span of years is 70 years, and if you try and get to 80, you are so weak, you even want to go. You don't want to be so old as 80, and then you are so weak, and there's nothing you can do, and you're saying it is better to leave than to stay. The same Moses that wrote that lived until 120 years of age. That's why we need to understand. Anytime you read verses like this, you look at the context and you look at what is being said. You don't say, okay, I'm 70 now, and then you tell the group pastor or you tell the state overseer or region overseer, national overseer, I cannot be coming to workers' meeting anymore. Why? I clocked 70 last week. And because I clocked 70, and I've read in the Bible, in Psalm 90 verse 10, that the days of our years are just 70 years. And if we try to make an effort and to do this and that, we'll be causing ourselves unnecessary sorrow and unnecessary trouble. Therefore, I'm getting out of the work of God. You will not go out of the work of God. Your lamp will not go off in the middle of your years in Jesus' name. Because the Moses that wrote that still went on. And when God called him at 80, he didn't say, God, already, please read Psalm 90, verse 10, and interpret it to me, because that is my age bracket. He knew that God knew what he was doing in your life. God was strengthening you. Yeah. At 70, God was strengthening you. Yeah. Of course, at 45, 47, 55, 60, the strength of the Lord and the joy of the Lord will be your strength in Jesus' name. And then he said, it is soon cut off and will fly away. Now his life was not cut off like that. Your life will not be cut off. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, it says, who knows the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Look at verse 12. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us to number our days. That means then, as you look at how life is, actually, the world is very different now from, let's say, about 100 years ago. Why? Because the civilization and the way life is going this time, things are different. You see at the beginning, that is Genesis chapter 1 all through to chapter 2, chapter 5, Methuselah lived more than 900 years and Adam lived more than 900 years. And then you have all those people, Lamech and the others, and Enoch, you know their story, and Noah, you know the story, and the sons of Noah, you know their story. They lived hundreds of years, and then it came to another period, like the period of Abraham, and then their lives were no more like up to 200 years. Even though you have the mention of 120 years in Genesis chapter 6, and it says, my spirit shall not always strive with men, because he has just 120 years, and yet Sarah went beyond 120, Abraham went beyond 120, Isaac went beyond 120, and Jacob went beyond 120. All those numbers are given for general people. But when it comes to specific people, the time is short, that's what we're looking at. It doesn't mean that that is the ceiling and you cannot go beyond this point or that point. The Lord will favor you. And so the Lord gives you wisdom to say, this is who I am now, and this is where I am now. What can I still do? How do I number my days? How do I number my years? How do I plan? How do I project? How do I live so that my life will be quality life? Your life will be of quality. Your aspirations of quality, your endeavor of quality, and your activities of quality in Jesus' name. It says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Three things. Number one, the sinner's shortness of time. We talk of shortness of time for sinners. Their shortness of time. Number two, the saints' stretching of time. The saints' stretching of time. Number three, the sages' sufficiency of time. For those who are wise, they have sufficiency of time. Let's look at number one, the sinner's shortness of time. We're looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 17. It says, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? You see, the people who are wicked, the people who are sinful, you know, they do some reckless things and they do some risky things. For example, you know, a young man will feel that he's quite bold and courageous and the vehicle is moving, and instead of allowing the vehicle to stop, then he opens the door, he jumps out, he feels that he's playing games with life. And there is a vehicle coming. He didn't know a vehicle was coming. And then he's crushed. And they said that was his time. That was his fate. They said that's what God has done. God has not done that. He himself cut short his life by his sinful, reckless, risky kind of living. Or there are times people take some drugs, hard drugs, and they do not understand the effect of those drugs in their lives. It affects their brain, it affects their cells, it affects every part of their life, it affects who they confront or who they talk to. And some people will confront, you know, they are very bold, and therefore they talk about this and talk about that, and the people they talk about, they're angry and they come to do something to them. Be not overmuch wicked. Look at life. Be balanced in life. Neither be thou foolish in your talk, in your utterance, in your action, in your endeavor, in the things you try. It says, why shouldest thou die before thy time? You will not die before your time. Look at Psalm 55, verse 23. In Psalm 55, verse 23, but thou, O God, shall bring them into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. Shall not live out half their days. You see, people who are sinful and people who are wicked, and what they sow, they reap. And because they sow wickedness and they sow evil, they reap the same. And it said they shall not live out half their days. You see, there are, when some things happen and you know, people lose their lives, they say it's God's plan. That is how God wants it. They are not willing to examine themselves. What did they do? What should they have done? What shouldn't they have done? As somebody, for example, is living alone, and as he's living alone, maybe he's discouraged. If he had connections, companions, some friends, a wife, a husband, a wife, they would easily relate together. You know, for example, somebody is, of age, and she says, well, I am this old, and I'm not looking for any children now, so why should I think of marriage? Marriage is not just for children. Marriage is for companionship. There are times you might get discouraged and you're all alone by yourself. If you had a companion, if you had somebody you can interact with in an intimate way, it prolongs your life and it makes your life what it ought to be. But such people, they have a problem. They lock up themselves. They're so discouraged. They're not feeling like eating. They're not feeling like doing anything. Another sickness may set in, and eventually some people can die unnecessarily. You will not die unnecessarily. It says bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 10 verse 27. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. You see, when you fear the Lord, you love the Lord, and you worship the Lord, and you allow the Lord to direct you in your life, your days will be prolonged. Your life will be prolonged. And not just that your life is prolonged, it's a happy, prolonged life. Healthy, prolonged life. Useful, prolonged life. And progressive, prolonged life. In Jesus' name. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The years of the wicked shall be shortened. Some people have this idea that God has fixed a particular day, particular year for them to die. Whether they are righteous or wicked or careful or wise or foolish, God has set a particular time limit. And they say, what can I do? God has determined when they will die. Some believers, righteous people, they have that concept, and so they say, I cannot prolong the time, I cannot tell the time. God has set the time they must die. Wicked people, sinful people, they say, God has set the time. Whether I'm careless or reckless, or I do risky things, or I do whatever, God has set the time. Not at all. Have you seen what we're reading in the scriptures? It says, the years of the wicked shall be shortened. This person is here on earth and is not contributing anything. Is injuring other people. Is destroying the plans of God for other people. The years shall be shortened. But your own life, because you fear the Lord, you love the Lord, your life will be prolonged. But I must ask you a question. If God gave you extra 15 years to live, what will you be doing? Will you just say, 15 years, thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Isn't this great? He gave me 15 years more to live. It's not just the 15 years. What will you plan to do? What will you accomplish in that time that is given unto you? Let's look at number two here. Number two here, the same stretching of time. If the Lord will stretch your time, prolong your days, and he says, all right, this is where you are now. I want to add one quarter of the life you have lived already. I want to add that unto you. If you calculate the age, and it says, I'm giving you one quarter extra, I'm giving you one third extra, how will you use, or how will you plan to make sure that the world in which she lived benefits from that extra stretching of time. In Genesis chapter 28, I'm reading from verse 15. Behold, I am with thee. I thought you'd say amen. I will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest. The Lord will watch over you. And the Lord will go with you and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of, have spoken to thee of. It says, all the plans he has for you, all the projects he has before you, all the promises he has for you, and all the projects he wants you to accomplish, it will be with you. It will give you wisdom. It will give you strength. It'll give you the resources and the finance. And then it says, I will not leave you until I have done everything I've said I'm going to do with you. We're looking at Jeremiah chapter 1, reading from verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Where is the word of the Lord now? I said, where is the word of the Lord now? In your mouth. And there is a purpose for that. And that word of God in your mouth will not be in vain. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build, you'll be a builder. And to plant, you'll be a planter. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. That you have difficulty, opposition, fighters, warriors, the people who criticize, that doesn't mean that you are not called of God. They shall fight, not because God has sent them, but because that's their nature. And that is their understanding of what they think they must do. But they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, says the Lord, to deliver thee. The Lord will deliver you. Genesis chapter 20. Reading from verse 7. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 7, therefore now restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. He shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die. And all that are thine. You know the story. It's the story of Abimelech. He had taken Sarah, Abraham's wife. And God said, now, your span, your life, your share of the shortness of time is going to be affected by this action. But if you want to live and live long, do what I say. Restore this man, his wife. Take this action. Compare what is going to happen if you do it with what is going to happen if you don't do it. If you want long life, if you want extra time, if you want my forgiveness and freedom, and if you want the prolonging of your days, restore the man, his wife. If you don't, that means all the plans you have, all the vision you have, all the projects you have, everything will be cut short because you will not live long enough to get anything done. So make your choice. We have a choice. And if we're listening to the Lord, he'll say, this is what is bringing that havoc, that harm, that premature death, and that sickness, this is what is bringing the but. You have a choice. Get rid of this and do it like this, and your life will be long. And look at verse 17 there. In verse 17, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bear children. They lived and they even produced more than if they had just died like that. You know, if Abimelech had said, no, I don't believe that, I don't accept that, I'm not going to accept every dream, that one is false, I'm going to keep the woman, well, he would have died. And people can give many reasons. So he died of a heart attack, he died of this, he died of this, he died in his sleep, he died mysteriously. But God knew why he died, and he shouldn't have died. And thank God, he did what God told him to do. He did not die prematurely. I'm talking about you. You will not die prematurely. The Lord will stretch your time in Jesus' name. We read this before. Let's read it again. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. God has called me, and God wants me to do this, do that, and I will not do otherwise. Your days will be long on earth in Jesus' name. My days. My days will be long on the earth in Jesus' name. Look at number three. Number three here, the sage sufficiency of time. The sage is the wise man. And Jesus said, the Queen of Sheba came unto Solomon because of his wisdom. And there is one here greater than Solomon, wiser than Solomon. And the Lord made use of every minute, every moment, and every day, because he had something he came to do. And he finished what the Lord, what the Father had ordained that he will do. You will finish. Look at John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus says unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to do what? And to do what? And to finish his work. John 4, 34. Now, we need to think about the quality of time. Not just the quantity of time, the quality of time. Christ came, and for 30 years, he was waiting for his ministry to open up. At the age of 30, he began the ministry. And then he did that ministry for 3.5 years. Was that too short? No, for Christ, it wasn't short, because those 3.5 years, he did what no other prophet in Israel for thousands of years had ever done. Put all the prophets together of the Old Testament in those thousands of years, Christ did more than them all. All the knowledge, all the truth that he revealed, the gospel, he revealed more truth, saving truth, eternal truth, supernatural truth, is a redemptive truth. He revealed that more than all that the prophets have revealed. All that he did, the opening of the blind eyes and the deaf ears and the lame walking and the dead rising and the life we live now, walking on water and providing food for thousands of people. Within the 3.5 years, he did more than all the prophets of the Old Testament, what they had done. In fact, he brought the new covenant. And by the new covenant he brought, the old covenant is totally abolished. accomplished and annulled. Within the 3.5 years, he did what no man had ever done. The quality of the time, he had sufficiency of time to finish everything he came to do. The Lord will give you wisdom. That within the time you have, you will finish everything the Lord had ordained you will do in Jesus' name. Look at chapter 17, John chapter 17, verse 4. He was now going to the Father, and he was now telling the Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. He said, my time is up, and it's all right, and there are no regrets. I'm not regretting. I should have done this, I should have done that. He said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. That's the important thing, that on the final day of every believer, on the final day of every minister, you can look back and you are not saying, oh, I wish I had done that. I wish I had gone there. I wish I had accomplished that. I wish I had launched that. I wish I had touched more lives. Finish, to finish the work the Father has given you to do. That's the work, and that is the aim, and that is the goal of a wise minister, a wise man, a wise woman. I pray the wisdom of the Lord will be granted to you even from today in Jesus' name. Look at Acts of the Apostle, chapter 20, verse 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. So that I might finish my course with joy. Now, in our lives, if you're always watching the sky, look at the clouds, you're not finished. If you're doing that, if you're looking at the road, how rough the road is, how steep the mountain is, how difficult people are, how biting the criticisms are, how hot the heat of the sun is. If you're watching that and everything matters to you, somebody passes a little comment about you, somebody says something negative about you, somebody persecutes you, somebody criticizes you, and all the time you are, you know, looking at their faces and all that, you are not going to do the work the Lord has given you to do. But Paul the Apostle said, but none of these things move me. They say, they do, they act, they criticize, they blackmail, they oppress, whatever. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The Lord give you wisdom. And the Lord give you courage to be all that God wants you to be and to do all that God has ordained you to do. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're reading from verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Then in verse 7, it says, in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. He looked at his life from the beginning of his conversion to that time. He said, yes, I fought the beast at Ephesus, but it's a good fight. I fought for the doctrine, preservation of the gospel and the doctrines of Christ. And it's a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He knew, I have finished my course. No regrets. And no wishing, I wish I'd been wise. I wish I'd evangelized. I wish I'd reached in, you know, those things the Lord was telling me to write to the church at Corinth and the church in Rome and to the church in Philippi and Colossae and Ephesus and to Philemon and to everyone. I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd not wasted time on non-essentials. I wish I'd not been nursing my wounds and nursing my wounds of the persecution, of the stoning, and of the imprisonment. I wish I had done what I should have done. Not at all. No regrets. I pray you will so live your life, there'll be no regrets in your life in Jesus' name. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You will keep the faith. We're coming to point number three. Point number three, we're looking at exponential progress within the shortness of time. Exponential progress within the shortness of time. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. The time is short. When we talk of shortness and time, now you understand that what short is relative. Somebody, for example, when we were in school, when you were in school, there was, maybe another student, and that student was always studying, and he said, bookworm, bookworm. And if they were going to do anything, let's say in a week's time, he has read it up. He has studied it. He has mastered it. And now they go to class, and while the teacher is teaching already, he has mastered those things. And the people, the other members of the class, they're just seeing that for the first time. And so after they have taught them, a day or two after, they want to give them a test, an exam. Remember this, our special student, he's read it before they taught it. They have taught it. That's the second time for him. The third time, he's read it over, and now an exam is coming. All the other students, they have not read it before, and they're seeing this for the first time. Exam has come, and they give them 1 hour for the exam. For a man who has read and read and read, the time is more than sufficient. For the other people who are just cracking their brain, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? For them, the time is too short. What does the lecturer expect of us to do all this within 1 hour? This time is too short. For our man, the time is not short at all. Within 45, 50 minutes, he has finished. And then he submits the paper and he has distinction. The preparation we make in life will either make the time short or too short or sufficient. If you prepare in life, everything you are going to do, everything you want to set your hands on, if you prepare by reading, if you prepare by studying, if you prepare by praying, if you prepare by consecration, if you prepare by the delight in labor, it is not that somebody is pushing you and dragging you with all your heart, all your mind. You are there and you are for it. The time will be sufficient for you. I said your time will be sufficient. It's like that every area of life. Good preparation and good purpose in life, and then you push yourself and dive into what you need to do, time will be sufficient for you. Time will be sufficient for me. In Jesus' name. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're looking at verse 15. It tells us that we're redeeming the time. See then that he walks circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And then in verse 16, it says in verse 16, redeeming the time. buying up the time, making use of your time in a very good way, so that your life will be a life of quality, and you will never be taken by surprise, because you use that time in a qualitative manner, and you are prepared, and you are purposeful, and you propel yourself in what you ought to do, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Three things here we're looking at. Number one, the unprofitableness of erroneous shortage of time. Number two, the usefulness of everyone's share of time. Number three, the uniqueness of essential seasons of time. Number one, we're looking at the unprofitableness of erroneous shortage of time. We're looking at Genesis, and I'm looking at the life of Isaac for illustration. Look at Genesis chapter 25, verse 26. After that came his brother, but his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. Look at this. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. When Esau and Jacob were born, that day, no years, zero, Isaac was 60. Look at chapter 26, we're reading from verse 34. Chapter 26, verse 34, and Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith. Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith. Let me ask you a question. How old was Isaac the father when Esau was 40 years of age? How old? 100. Now, look at verse 35. In verse 35, which were a grief of mine to Isaac and to Rebekah. That's the last verse there. That's the last verse there. Look at the next verse, chapter 27. We're reading from verse 1. That's the very next verse. Remember, the last verse of chapter 26, Isaac was 100 years. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, that he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son. And he said, behold, here am I. Verse 2. In verse 2, it tells us, and he said, behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. I know not the day of my death. He was already thinking of death at this time. Remember, the last time we saw him, he was 100 years. At this time now, knowing that Jacob had not even married, at that time, Isaac could not be more than 130 years of age. He was 100 in chapter 26, last verse. Now, the next time, when he was thinking, I'm going to die, he was like maybe about 130 years of age, and Esau and Jacob, probably about 70, since Jacob had not even married. But now we're looking at chapter 35, and I'm reading from verse 27. And Jacob came to Isaac. Remember, Jacob went away and then spent 20 years outside there and came back and Isaac was still alive, but he thought he was going to die. Therefore, he wasn't planning on doing anything, achieving anything for all those many years, because he said, my time of death is near and I don't know when I'm going to die. Even Esau even said, Isaac, my father, will soon die and I will kill Jacob. They were thinking of death, and yet death was still far away. I pray God will help you and I to be wise in Jesus' name. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, and unto the city of Abba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. Look at verse 28. In verse 28, and the days of Isaac were, read it out and tell me out loud, 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go. What's 104 score years? 180 years. Remember, long ago, at the age of about 130, he said, I don't know when I'm going to die. Therefore, go and get food for me, the one I love, so that I can bless you before I die. From 130 years of age to 180 years of age, 50 years, what was Isaac doing? We don't have any record. It was just there. I may die tomorrow, I may die next week, the time of my death is near, and was still alive for another 50 years. That's why we should be wise. I pray every one of us will be wise in Jesus' name. And you know, sometimes a thought can come to you, my time is near. Sometimes Esau may say it, your time is near. Sometimes Rebecca, the wife, may say it, your father is about to die, therefore go and take this and, you know, do this so that you'll get them. Everybody is saying, he's dying, he's dying, he's dying. And yet, another 40 years, another 50 years, he was still alive. And when you have that time on your hand, and everybody is saying, you are going to die, you are going to die, and you're not doing anything, and the 50 years, compared with 180 years, that man could have done something great. You will do something great. Your death is not near. I said the end of your life is not near. And the years that remain, you will do quality work on earth for the world in the kingdom in Jesus' name. You see, because I was expecting a death anytime, no expectation, no plans, no goals, no project, no projection, no labor, no learning, no training. He didn't train himself, he didn't train other people to get something done, because he said, I may die tomorrow, I may die next week, I may die next month. You will not die until you finish. Live as if life is still there, and life is still long, and your life will be meaningful, and your life will be spent in a qualitative manner in Jesus' name. Maybe I should say it for myself. My life will be spent profitably in Jesus' name. And everybody said, look at number two here. Number two here is the usefulness of everyone's share of time. You have your share, I have my share, and I look at the share of my time, and you look at the share of your time, and you make sure that your share of time is useful, profitable, and you are moving on exponentially and doing and achieving what you have not even achieved in the past in Jesus' name. We're looking at Jeremiah, and we're looking at chapter 8, verse 7. Jeremiah, chapter 8, verse 7. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. He said, the birds know their time. The creatures by instinct, they know their time. But the people who have access to God, the people who have access to prayer, the people who have access to the promises of God, the people who have access to the power of God, they know not their time. And they allow even birds of prey to be clever, to be wiser than they are. I pray we'll make use of time in a profitable way in Jesus' name. Colossians chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 5. Colossians chapter 4, reading from verse 5, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Understand, the majority of people in the world, well, when it comes to work, they are conscious of time. They want to get there now, and they want to close as early as possible. That's what they are conscious of. But outside the closing time, what do they do after that closing time? What do they do in their shortening time? What do they do in the time that is just there for them? Most of them may, you know, surf the social media, internet. They want to do this and do. And those things, they don't contribute anything to their lives, contribute anything to their progress, contribute anything to their spirituality. And if you are surrounded with people like that, they just talk and time is gone. And they just play and time is gone. And they just watch non-essential, irrelevant things and time is gone. That's why it says, redeeming the time, redeeming the time. And if you surround yourself with a company of people that do not know how to make use of their time profitably, you will be like them. And I pray from this day, God will make you wise. You'll see the people who are killing time, they're slaying time, they're murdering time. And you say, no, the share of time I have, I'm not going to squander it or throw it away. I am going to make use of it in a wise way. Be ready for everything God has appointed for me to do here, and ready for the coming of the Lord. The Lord give you more wisdom in Jesus' name. We're looking at number three. Number three here is the uniqueness of essential seasons of time. The uniqueness of essential seasons of time. We're looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, reading from verse 32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. Understanding of the times, understanding of the times. Let me explain to you, understanding of the times. 100 years ago, when there was no aeroplane, when there was no computer, when there was no internet, and when there was no social media like we have today, how far could we go in our work in 1 year? But 50 years ago, aeroplane now had come, and we could move from here to there. Before, when it was only by ship, by the sea, to go from here to, from Lagos to London, could take you 3 months by sea. But now, if you're going to use aeroplane, it will not even take you a day. How can you plan today? Where can you get to today? Where can you move to today? The uniqueness of the time in which we live. I'd said it before. There were times in the past when if you're going to preach to anybody like Paul the Apostle, you have to travel to Iconium. You have to travel to Lystra. You have to go by road or go by sea, and you have to go there and see them face to face. But now, because of social media and everything that we have, we don't have to go there, you know, physically. Now we can stay here and get the message and the prayer to them far away. The times in which we live, if you walk like people walked 1,000 years ago and 2,000 years ago, then you don't know the seasons in which we're living. But now, the uniqueness of essential seasons of time. It says, and the children of Issachar, let's say, for example, today, the scientists, the technologies, and the people that are versatile in social media, those are the children of Issachar now, which were men that had understanding of the times, understanding of the gadgets, understanding of the technology. They have understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, what Israel ought to do. And those people can tell us, we can transmit the message this way, we can multiply the effect of the message this way, because they know the understanding of the times, and they know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their command, at their command, at their command, because they knew what others did not know. And as we look at our church today, and we have understanding of the essential season of our time, we will run faster, we will go farther, and we'll climb higher, and we'll do more for the kingdom of God in the share of time and season of time that we have now in Jesus' name. And then when those sons or children of Issachar, when they come to direct us and they say, Pastor, this is the way to do it, that's the way to do it. You say, well, not say, shut up. You are young people, and we are overseers, and we are leaders and pastors. No, well, allow them to show us what to do, and as they show us what to do, our work will be rewarded by the Lord of the Lord in Jesus' name. Shortness of time, share of time, sufficiency of time. You have time sufficient to do what God has called you to do. And you will do it, and the work of God will prosper in your hands in Jesus' name. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer, that the Lord will give you wisdom, that the Lord will help you to know that whatever number of years you have lived, if you trust the Lord and you interpret the Bible very well, you can have a prolonged time, and you'll have more time to serve the Lord and serve profitably in Jesus' name. Open your mouth now and pray.